Sean, numbers were delayed a bit as a result of the partial federal government shutdown, but we now have some jobs numbers. Can you give us an overview as to what time frame we're now talking about and what those numbers are showing?
Last week, the Labor Department finally released the jobs numbers they had for September, which they show that the employment edged up by 119,000, and the unemployment rate rose to 4.4%, by, I believe, a point from 4.3. And this was a bit of a surprise. It was better than predicted. The last couple of months had been bad, although it's also worth noting that they downgraded the previous month's numbers to the point where August actually had negative job growth by about 2,000. Previously, they'd reported about 24,000 a gain. Basically, employment ticked up and was better than people expected, but it's still not as good as it was the previous years, and we're still having a sort of stagnant year overall. The question is, why did it pick up a little bit? My personal theory on this is that some of the controversy around the tariffs has died down a bit, and businesses are getting a bit more willing to hire again.
Relative to those tariffs, did you see in the job creation numbers that were prior to all the tariff controversy taking place and the tariffs now having been somewhat in place, they do seem to change quite frequently, did you see a real change in the job creation numbers pre and post tariff?
The numbers over the summer were very bad, dropping down to just to five-figure gains, which was far below where it was before. And that's not surprising in the face of tariffs. I mean, the issue, businesses have to plan long term. They need to look ahead to the next 3 or 6 months or even a year. And in order to do that, you have to know what the prices are going to be. You have to know how much of your product you can sell abroad. You have to know how much the raw materials you're going to have to import are going to cost. If you don't know what those prices are, you're going to be very reluctant to make any kind of investments, and you're going to hold off on hiring. So that, pushed things back. There were and part of the problem here was, as you said, the tariffs themselves have been extremely volatile. The administration will announce something, then there'll be some sort of political blow up or pushback from the other side, and then they'll drop something, and then for whatever reason, Trump will decide he wants to push back himself, and then they'll go back up, and you go through this process a couple of times, and so no one really knows where they're going to be from now. One of the interesting things is I do think it's impacted employment. It hasn't actually impacted inflation much. And that's because most businesses appear to be sort of eating the cost for the time being because they don't really know where the tariffs are going to be in the future.
In terms of these jobs that are being created, is this uniform across the country? Are there some geographic areas of the country, the South, the West, the Northeast, anybody doing better than anybody else? Or is this a national phenomenon?
Yeah, there's little to no change really in most industries. I mean, there's been some gains across the board, but they've been modest in pretty much all sectors. So while there's been some general increase, no one appears to be doing particularly better than others. And also, one of the interesting factors is the numbers may actually be worse than they're currently being stated right now because there's also the government furloughs or layoffs, which have happened. And technically, the BLS counts a lot of those people as still being employed if they're still receiving severance pay, even if they don't officially have a job anymore. So we're going to probably see in the next month or two a significant shift in numbers when those people actually start appearing in the surveys.
So does that mean the numbers are likely now going to bounce around a little bit? Because we did have a rather long partial government shutdown. It extended through the whole month of October, but then was over in November. So can we expect maybe some volatility going forward?
Absolutely. There's going to be space for the numbers to drop, but then there's also pushback on that. This one of the parts of the deal was to reverse some of the layoffs that occurred specifically as a result of the shutdown. And there's also challenges to some of the layoffs that happened before that. So, the courts could affect things a bit. So, yeah, we're still going to see a lot of volatility probably in the next 2 or 3 months at least.
I find it interesting. You mentioned that the August job numbers were significantly revised. Sean, we seem to see that quite a bit where you have a jobs number and a couple months later, there's a very significant revision, not just a few thousand, but hundreds of thousands sometimes, of jobs that are revised. Why do we see such wild swings in terms of revisions?
It's has to do with the way the BLS gathers the data. They literally just send out surveys to businesses and wait for them to be filled out and sent back via mail or email or however. And as a consequence, it's sort of catch-as-catch-can. What happens is they get maybe 60% of the surveys back in time for that month's report, and so they'll make a report based on that, and then a month later when they get another 25% or 30% of them come back in, they'll revise it based on that. And so that's why the numbers are constantly being fiddled with after the fact, is because they don't actually have all the data at the time when they're releasing the monthly reports. And it's basically just an old school kind of analog way of doing it. I mean, the BLS has been using the same methods for doing this since going back at least 50 years or so. And it just really hasn't changed much. And that's one of the sort of issues the BLS has, is there's got to be a better way to do this in the age of the internet and social media to survey these things, but they haven't figured out how to do that. And so they're still stuck in these sort of old fashioned ways of doing it. And one of the factors in that is just a delay in getting good information.
We are talking with Sean Higgins, a research fellow at the Competitive Enterprise Institute. We'll talk a little bit more about CEI in a couple of minutes. But Sean, in terms of employment, you've given us the employment numbers. What about unemployment? Where do we stand with unemployment numbers?
The number is currently 4.4% in the official sort of rate, which is, I would bore your listeners by saying this, but there's actually six different numbers that the Labor Department comes out with each month for unemployment. But for reasons I've never quite understood, the third calculation they use is the official one that you see in all the news headlines and that type of stuff, and that's 4.4%. Now, historically, that's actually good. There's a long time for when about 5% was actually considered functional full employment, because you're always going to have some businesses going out of business and people quitting one job and looking for another, or new people entering the workforce, so there's always going to be a certain amount of churn. On the other hand, we saw unemployment dip down as low as 3.5% in recent years, so it's up significantly over the past year.
We don't want to get too heavily into immigration policy here, but just from a high level, Sean, has the crackdown on illegal immigration had any impact on jobs numbers? Are we seeing a lot more job openings that are unfilled than what we've seen in the past?
We probably are seeing some of that. Immigration is interesting because even if someone's not legally in the country, they typically are being counted in these surveys. And a lot of other federal laws still apply. I mean, basically, the way federal labor law works is it all applies to the employer. So if you're hiring somebody, whether they're supposed to be in the country legally or not, all this stuff still goes into play. And so, yeah, I think that may actually be in part. Certainly, farm employment and stuff is impacted by this, and I think construction is as well. One of the things you have to understand is that while these openings happen, I mean, the economy doesn't always respond that quickly or dynamically to this type of stuff. I mean, if you've been relying on this type of labor for a while and suddenly it's not available to you, you're not necessarily immediately going to be able to turn around and find other people to replace it. So there's going to be some lag in terms of how you adapt or adopt things. And so, yeah, we're going to be seeing some of that. As to how much actually, I'm not sure actually how many people have been deported so far and how permanent that has been. So it's still a little unclear as to what the total impact has been, though.
Interesting. You made the comment here, Sean, that things don't turn around real quick when it comes to the economy, because we don't have, maybe it's more centralized than what we would actually like it to be, but it isn't. There's not one or two people who direct the economy. In terms of inflation, you referenced earlier in our discussion here that the inflation numbers really haven't ticked up a lot. However, on the political front, there seems to be a lot of emphasis these days on affordability. And for some reason, folks are thinking that inflation remains out of control. Relatively speaking, where the inflation rate is right now, is it about normal? Is it still running hot? And why does it take so long to turn things around?
Well, yeah, let me clarify that a little bit. Inflation was running high even before the tariffs were coming along, and the assumption was that the tariffs would inflate it, make it even hotter than it was previously, and that doesn't appear to have been the case, at least not thus far, for the reasons I said. Basically, businesses are sort of eating the cost from these tariffs at the moment because they don't really know where they're going to settle and where they should put their prices at. So that's been sort of a surprise. But that doesn't mean the inflation isn't there and isn't still rising, and you know, something that a lot of people are seeing, particularly in sort of food bills at this time. So it is up there and it is impacting people. It's just that, frankly, people thought it would be worse than it is.
In terms of interest rates, we are awaiting a decision here by the Federal Reserve in the next week or two as to whether they're going to cut their target rate. Do interest rates have any impact on the number of jobs that are being created? Are we seeing maybe some holding back of creating jobs because businesses can't afford to borrow the capital that they need in order to expand?
I think we are seeing some of that because they don't really know where the Federal Reserve is going to come. The September jobs data just isn't very useful in terms of predicting where the decision is going to be coming up. And so everybody's sort of floating around in this kind of limbo where they don't really know what's going to happen next. And in those situations, they tend to get very small C conservative and hold back. So you know, there isn't as much investment and there isn't as much future planning or expansion going on, which would require hiring.
Sean Higgins, again, is a research fellow at the Competitive Enterprise Institute. Sean, tell us a bit about the Competitive Enterprise Institute. Also, where can we find you on the web?
We're a free market think tank located right in the belly of the beast, Washington, D.C. You can find us at CEI.org.
Sean Higgins of the Competitive Enterprise Institute. Sean, thank you for taking time to be with us.
No problem.